Well, hi again, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of Schwartz on Sports here on New York Sports Day. I'm Peter Schwartz. Thank you so much for joining us on this edition of the podcast. It is a special week for the Islanders and their fans with the return to the Nassau Coliseum on Saturday. The Islanders to play their first regular season game in 4 years as they come back to the renovated Coliseum on a part-time temporary basis. And as the Islanders get set to return to their old home, there's a lot of memories that have been coming up for a lot of fans. And a memory that may not be so good for a part of the fan base is being brought up in a great new book called We Want Fish Sticks, the bizarre and infamous rebranding of the New York Islanders. It's written by Nick Hirschhorn, and Nick joins us here on Schwartz on Sports to talk about his new book. Nick, Peter Schwartz, how are you?
Great, Peter. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure, and thanks for joining us. So the fisherman jersey, obviously one of the most, you know, as you mentioned in the title, one of the most, you know, bizarre and infamous eras in Islander history. When you bring it up to a lot of people these days, people still cringe, people will laugh, people will mock it. As someone who was close to the team, followed the team, a fan like you and also like me, you know, what was your inspiration to writing this book, and how close were you to the fisherman logo? I know you had a jersey.
Yeah, I bought a fisherman jersey a few years after they got rid of it, because they last wore the fisherman jersey in 1997. And then I, a few years later, became an Islanders fan, and I was going through a Modell's, I think it was in Lake Success, and I saw a rack of Islanders jerseys for sale at like $10 or $20, and they had a whole bunch of these Wendell Clark fisherman jerseys. I didn't know who Wendell Clark was. I didn't know that this was this other logo. I just was looking to get an Islanders jersey, and it was probably my first ever Islanders jersey just because I thought it was cool and cheap. And then as the years went by and I started to learn more about the history of that team and Kirk Muller and Mike Milbury and Don Maloney and John Spano, all the players there, I got more interested in just the backstory about how did this even come about? How did they move away from this beloved original Islanders logo that we associate with the four straight Stanley Cups and turn to some Gordon's fisherman-like image?
It was an incredible part of Islanders history. There were so many things that went on during that era. You know, John Spano trying to buy the team. You mentioned Mike Milbury took over as head coach and ultimately as a general manager. To me, the rebranding, and I know you talk a lot about this in the book, but from my perspective, you know, when a team is not doing well on the ice, obviously ownership and management, they're going to try and do things to kind of, you know, take people's attention away from what's going on the ice and try and get people involved and excited about a franchise in other ways. And to me, this is what this always reeked like. It reeked about, reeked of is actually the better way of putting it, that they were so bad and not going anywhere on the ice that they just felt like they had to do something to take people's minds off of it. And this was just a horrible idea from the start.
Yeah, I mean, the brand needed a refreshing. The Islanders lose in the 1994 playoffs to the Rangers in embarrassing fashion. They get swept out of the first round, and they get outscored 22-3. And then, of course, the Rangers go on to win their first Stanley Cup in 54 years.
You didn't have to bring you didn't have to bring that up.
sorry. I'm an Islanders fan too, so it's not a pleasant memory for me. But you know, in the aftermath of that, you know, losing to your arch rivals in the playoffs, the Islanders are in this transition, right? You know, the dynasty players are gone. Al Arbour is coming off of the bench. They need something to add back some mystique or just get some excitement from a portion of the fan base that doesn't even remember the dynasty years anymore. And quite frankly, also, the Islanders were a small market team. They were trying to figure out how can we just make some cash very quickly that we can then hopefully maybe pump back into the team and get better players, improve Nassau Coliseum. So one way they figure to do this on the cheap is design a new logo, get these jerseys out there, a new mascot, Niles, and hope that fans are going to buy up that merchandise, and then eventually the franchise could be sustained off of that revenue, but it didn't really turn out that way.
I think Niles, the mascot, was worse than the actual fisherman jersey itself.
Yeah, I mean,
you put him on the cover. Like, I would think if you told me like Wendell Clark's fisherman jersey was your first Islander jersey, I would think it would have made more sense to put a picture of Wendell Clark on the cover. But you went with Niles.
Yeah, because I think Niles is really the living embodiment of this Fisherman Jersey rebrand. And you look at that image and you just immediately get a sense of what went wrong here. What exactly is Niles? He's just this guy of big, bushy red eyebrows and beard, and he has a gold light atop his head, and he's wearing the Fisherman jersey. So it just kind of shows you exactly what was going on. And that's the other thing with the rebrand, like you say, with Wendell Clark, or with any of these players that we may associate with that era, almost all of them were not there for the entirety of what was this three-season rebranding process. And that's an issue, is that, you know, Wendell Clark wasn't there at the start when they unveiled the jerseys, and all of these guys ended up getting traded. So if you look down the line at Ziggy Palfy and Travis Green and Tommy Salo, Tommy Soderstrom, anybody who was associated with that logo, they didn't really stick with the Islanders for all that long. And then in most cases, if they were good, in case of someone like a Palfy or a Salo, they end up getting traded away, mm-hmm. and it becomes another disgrace. You know, like they left and then they went on to great fame elsewhere.
We're talking to Nick Hershon, the author of a great new book that Islander fans, every Islander fan should read this book, especially those who weren't, you know, around the team or are not old enough to remember the Fisherman jersey era. And the new book is called We Want Fish Sticks, The Bizarre and Infamous Rebranding of the New York Islanders. So let's go back to that point where they're planning this rebrand and they're looking for, you know, a new logo to replace what I think is one of the most iconic logos in sports, the Islanders' classic logo with, you know, the geographic area of Long Island on it with the hockey stick. And I've always loved that logo, and it was sad that they tried to change it, but obviously they came to their senses and switched back. But the process of getting to the new logo, and you go into great detail about all the behind-the-scenes work that went into it, from your perspective, you know, what was that process like? You know, obviously you don't want to give away too much that's in the book, but it was obviously a lengthy process that, you know, that took a couple of years to go through.
Yeah, I mean, it basically started with the Islanders talking to the NHL about, well, we're thinking about rebranding, and no one's actually sure who called who first, right? So did the NHL call the Islanders saying you need to do this, or the Islanders called the NHL about it? But it's pretty clear that the NHL recommends this sports branding firm called SME. It stood for Sean Michael Edwards, and it's a top-notch branding firm that has done logos in all the major sports, did the Toronto Raptors logo, did the Florida Panthers NHL logo, and from then, it's, okay, so what is an embodiment of Long Island? We need some sort of a symbol that we can represent, a mascot, and then a logo. And that's one of the key questions in the book is, what is a Long Islander? When we immediately think of Long Island, what does that conjure in our mind?
I think of going to Roosevelt Field and going shopping.
Yeah, well, and there is a line in the book, right, where they're at one of these meetings, and one of the Islanders' executive jokes, well, what's the symbol of Long Island? It's a woman walking out of Bloomingdale's with a shopping bag into a Lexus. And then they make these jokes about, oh, it's a traffic jam or something else. And, of course, there are images of tropical islands. When we think of an island, right, we think of tropical pina colada, beaches, sunrises. But that's not really
That's not Long Island. No.
And so then you get into all these other sorts of, well, if we want to do something that differentiates us from the Rangers because we just lost them in 94, we want to show that we're Long Island's team and really cement that. They go to the seafaring stuff, and it's crabs and seagulls and lobsters, and then eventually a fisherman. And I mentioned in the book how that was inspired by the Billy Joel song Downeaster Alexa, which was all about these struggling fishermen on the east end of Long Island.
Yep.
And they basically, these designers are told, look at the music video for Downeaster Alexa and see the way that they're depicting Long Island fishermen. I want something like that in our logo.
Now, I have I don't mean to cut you off there, but I have to jump in because I read that part of the book, and if there's two, you know, outside of my family and friends, if there's two passions I have in life, one is the Islanders, and one is being a huge fan of Billy Joel. And the fact that Billy Joel's song had a part in this logo is very disturbing to me because I don't think Billy Joel ever wanted to associate himself with something that was a failure. And without question, the logo change was a failure. And it's actually kind of sad to me that Billy Joel's song played a role in this.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Islanders were trying to look for anything that would represent Long Island well. And when you think Long Island, again, one of the few positives maybe in that period was Billy Joel was from here, mm-hmm. and he's proud to be from here. He's not a guy who moved away and went to Hollywood and said, I forget my Long Island roots. He's playing benefit concerts for the Long Island fishermen. He actually got arrested at one point at a protest with them. So he really identifies with this. And with the Long Islanders, obviously, everywhere you go, I mean, even to this day, right? You go into a diner, you go into a supermarket on Long Island, they're always playing Billy Joel songs in the background. And he plays Nassau Coliseum, the Islanders Arena. So I think that it was wise, in a sense, to try to get him involved, but they maybe went too far all in on this idea without his cooperation, because over the history of the Islanders, they seem to invite Billy Joel to lots of things that he, for whatever reason, maybe just doesn't have an interest in sports, he kind of politely declines. And it is kind of ironic now to see that the Islanders are going to be having a Billy Joel night on December 15th and giving away a bobblehead with him at the piano. But, you know, it's Long Island's favorite singer, favorite son, trying to be a part of Long Island's favorite sports franchise. Not a terrible idea, but it didn't work out.
The jersey only lasted, you know, a couple of years, and you know, by contract they had to do it. And it was quickly realized how poorly received it was. You know, they went to that third jersey the second year that had the fisherman jersey with the classic logo on it. And then they finally went to that as a jersey. And then they ultimately went back, you know, to the regular Islander jersey. And I guess to go back to my original point in this question, how quickly did it realize, or how quickly did it take Islanders management to realize that this was a huge mistake?
I think it's pretty quick, because before the Islanders could even unveil the logo on their own terms in June of 1995, a copy of the logo was leaked to the New York Daily News. It ends up, they actually do a superimposition of the photo of the fisherman logo on Dennis Potvin's jersey, and showing like Dennis Potvin if he had worn this logo. And the Daily News just criticizes everything about it. So before the Islanders can even get their say, it's already been trashed in the media, and everybody else piles on after the Daily News runs that piece. And then pretty quickly, by November of 1995, the Islanders are playing the Rangers at Madison Square Garden, and the We Want Fish Sticks chant is born, and fans are actually walking around the arena as the Gorton's fishermen to taunt the Islanders fans. So I think that the Islanders management realized within probably a few days of that first Daily News story, which was April of 1995, that they were in for a storm of criticism. But they think, let's wait and see how this goes. We've already made a commitment to change jerseys. There are certain NHL rules. They couldn't just say, well, there was a bad piece of publicity, so we want to go back to our original logo. So they're kind of stuck with it for the 95-96 season. And then they only really have a month into that season to decide whether they want it for the following 96-97 season. So they decide, let's give it a chance, and they end up having to use it as their primary logo for 2 years.
Yeah, it was definitely an unfortunate error in Islanders history. A couple minutes left with Nick Kershaw, the author of We Want Fish Sticks, the bizarre and infamous rebranding of the New York Islanders. So the Islanders get rid of the fisherman logo. It's gone for a good number of years. And then the Islanders are getting set to play their last season at the Nassau Coliseum, the 2014-15 season. And they did a lot of things during that year to reminisce over the 43-year history. And one of the things they did was they brought the fisherman logo back for warm-up jerseys for a game. And I think what it ultimately did was it opened up the logo's relevance, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, to a whole new era of younger Islander fans, to the point where, you know, my two kids saw it for the first time, and my younger son is constantly asking me to go get him an Islanders fish stick hat, a fisherman's hat. But what do you think that all meant when they brought that logo back? Because they kind of brought it back from the dead, and it kind of cultivated a new era of people that were interested in it.
I think it's smart for the Islanders. At this point, we're more than 20 years after this rebrand. There's really nobody who was associated with the team then who's still around now on the Islanders. So, you know, it's a part of the team's history that, yes, the logo became wrapped up and associated with negative things, players and situations like John Spano being out as a con artist. But if you look at the logo itself, it was designed by a top sports branding firm. It's, I think, still somewhat aesthetically pleasing. A lot of fans obviously think it has that retro 90s look. So I'm glad that the Islanders embraced it, at least for a night, and say, you know, it's part of our past. It's associated with guys like Ziggy Palfy, who was one of the best players to ever suit up for the team. And, you know, they did win some games and create some positive memories during that period, even though overall it was last place. So, you know, I think it was a good idea. Bring it back for a while, and now we're starting to see the merchandise back at the Coliseum, and Islanders even having, you know, these group plan kind of sales pitches that if you get 10 tickets or more, then you're going to get a free fisherman jersey. And I just think it's a smart move on their part.
Yeah, I think bringing it back was kind of like poking fun at themselves, and it was a fun night. I remember going. It was actually a fun festive evening. Let me just wrap it up with this. I mentioned at the top, Islanders getting set to come back to the Coliseum on Saturday to play Columbus. So what are your thoughts as an Islander fan on them coming back on this temporary, part-time basis, which a lot of people think will morph into, you know, a full-time, you know, return until Belmont is done?
I love it. I mean, I grew up watching the Islanders at Nassau Coliseum. That was one of the original reasons why I was drawn to them. I love that they're this underdog team, and they're playing the Rangers, who are in glamorous Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena, and meanwhile, we're in some place on Hempstead Turnpike in Uniondale. I just think it's terrific, and I wrote a book about Nassau Coliseum in 2010.
Let me tell everybody, make sure you get Nick's old book about the Coliseum, because I have that too, and that's a phenomenal book as well.
I appreciate that. And it's, you know, it's great. I mean, I'm going to be at the game on Saturday. I bought one of those Rock the Island plans to go to a bunch of the Coliseum games. The electric atmosphere is there, the history that's there. You know, you look up at the rafters and you see all those names and all those banners from the titles. And there's a mystique of that building that just can't be recreated at Barclays Center or Belmont or anywhere else, at least not until, you know, it take a generation to kind of build that kind of a history. So I love that they'll be back. I think the fans are excited. The players seem excited. And I'm just going to be really excited to go there on Saturday.
Well, like I said, your first book was great. This book, We Want Fish Sticks, is awesome, and I think you need to complete the hat trick by writing a book about the Islanders' failed era of playing hockey in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about that actually when they went over to Brooklyn. I was wondering how that experiment would work. I just didn't see it working. I think so much of the Islanders' identity is tied into what we culturally know as Long Island, Nassau and Suffolk, even though there's an argument to be made that Brooklyn is technically part of Long Island, but that's not the way that New Yorkers view it. And so I don't know if that's going to come down the line, but it was so much fun for me to dive back into this history and all these stories, all the old newspaper reports, interviewing all the players and the executives, going through the Blade, which was their game program at the time, and
sure,
the fan newsletters, going through the old Sports Channel coverage. I mean, I'm a nerd for history, so I love that. I love hockey. So the two of those coming together in a project like this was just perfect for me.
Well, it was a wonderful job, and I can't thank you enough for spending some time. I know you and I could probably talk for hours about the Islanders and their history, but we had to limit it to these 15 or 17 minutes, whatever it winds up being. Nick Hirshon, the author of We Want Fish Sticks, The Bizarre and Infamous Rebranding of the New York Islanders. And Nick, really quick, tell people how they can get the book.
The book is available right now on Amazon. It'll be in bookstores on December 1st, Saturday. I'm going to have a bunch of book signings, and if you follow me on Twitter, at Nick Hirshon, then you'll see I'll list all the places where I'm going to be. First one's coming up December 8th at the Glen Oaks Library on Union Turnpike in Queens. But I'm going to have others throughout Manhattan. I'm going to be at the Offside Tavern later in December, and a few in January in Manhattan, Long Island, all over. So just stay tuned. And thanks again, Peter. I really appreciate the chance to come on.
My pleasure. I'll see you at the game Saturday. I'm going to bring the book with me so you can sign my copy of it.
That's perfect. I'd be happy to. Be glad to.
We thank Nick Hirshon for joining us here on Schwartz on Sports at New York Sports Day. I'm Peter Schwartz, and we'll catch you again next time.